The good news, my friends, is so startlingly good that our reaction ought to be very different from what it is. But we are clouded with sin and clouded with delusion. And that's why we have to keep coming back to the Word and pondering it so that our spirit can see through our darkness. That's what we're doing here, my friends. Colin Cook and How It Happens, your broadcast that trains your faith. Trains your faith in the good news about our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, His Son, and the Holy Spirit, all working now towards giving us faith, training us, bringing us up to Him, and leading us to His kingdom. We're looking at Romans chapter 5. We're looking at this chapter about freedom from the wrath of God. Incredible. Reconciled now to the heart of the Father. And as you know, in the last day or two, I've been talking about the fact that when we were without strength, that is, when we were weak and helpless and powerless, we were reconciled to the heart of the Father. So we must not withhold ourselves from Him just because we feel weak. But now, look at this one. For when we were still powerless, that is, when we were still without strength and powerless, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, this is where we really do somehow forget what it means. Christ died for the ungodly. What we mostly think that means is that Christ died, sort of potentially for the ungodly, in the sense that, well, He's made the provision. And if the ungodly will just stop being ungodly and come back to God in repentance and come away from their ungodliness, then Christ's death will take effect for them. That's what we tend to think about this. But that's not what it means. Remember, first of all, as I've been telling you, that verses 6, 8, and 10 are parallel. So that when it says Christ died in verse 6, it also says it in verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. But then verse 10, which is parallel to verses 6 and 8, as I just said, says, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son," well then, you see, Christ died in verse 6, Christ died in verse 8 means that we are reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Christ's death is a reconciliation, not just a provisional act, but a reconciliation. God reconciled all the world to Himself in Christ's death. While they were still, now wait for it, ungodly. Verse 6. And so what verse 6 is saying is this: when we were still without strength, in due time Christ reconciled to Himself the ungodly. Now that, you see, is very consistent with chapter 4, verse 5. And there it says, "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly," there you have it, "declares innocent the ungodly." You see, justifying or declaring innocent the ungodly is consistent with Christ reconciling the ungodly to Himself even while they were enemies. And that is consistent with chapter 5, verse 1, that therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Justified, we are declared innocent. We are, according to verse 9, justified much more than having been justified by His blood, which means by His death. Now you see, we don't want to believe this. In fact, Roman Catholic theology over the centuries has greatly objected to this idea. Roman Catholic theology has said that when God justifies us, declares us innocent, He actually infuses righteous righteousness in us so that we are no longer ungodly but righteous. So God doesn't in effect justify the ungodly as is. He justifies people whom he's infusing with righteousness. Martin Luther in the Reformation said that cannot be so, because the whole message of Paul is that we are counted as righteous without any works of the law, that is, without any infusion of righteousness. Romans 3, verse 28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now, I know, you think all this sounds very theological, but let's get down to what this really means. If you and I are justified as ungodly people, declared innocent as ungodly people, if you and I are reconciled to the Father as ungodly people, we have all the hope in the world. Because, you see, the tendency of the human heart is to say, God can't accept me as I am. I'm not good enough for God. I have done too much evil for God. I'm not one of those righteous people who go to church on Sunday. I wish I were, but I can't bring myself to darken the church door because I have sinned so badly. And there are people outside of the church, outside of fellowship with Jesus, because they just feel such out-and-out sinners. Yeah, maybe they don't say so in so many words. Maybe all this is subconscious. But there are many people who have that hidden kind of sense of shame that tells them they're not the right type to be Christians. Now, especially is this so if you're struggling with one addiction or another. If you're a drug addict, if you're a sex addict, if you have struggles with alcohol, if you have endlessly struggled with overweight issues and feel ashamed, there's this feeling that you can't come to Christ or to God because you're ungodly. But here we have this message, as clear as can be, that Jesus and the Father reconcile ungodly, and the word, by the way, is wicked, ungodly people to himself, even while they are ungodly. So, you see, let not your struggle with any addiction, with any problem in life, with divorce issues, with whatever it may be, separate you or cause you to pull away and say, I can't meet the standards to be a Christian. I can't believe in Jesus because I've done too much. God reaches people at the bottom of the barrel and wherever they are. He declares innocent the ungodly. How can he do this? Don't forget the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus that God is that God put his Son, sent his Son to the world to take the burden of humanity upon himself and to be executed for it on our behalf. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14 says that if one died for all, therefore all died. That is to say, if one was executed for all, therefore all are executed. The judgment and the punishment have already been exercised by Christ on our behalf. So we don't let our ungodliness stop us from approaching God. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners and to repentance. And remember what it says in verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What do you think, by the way, that repentance is? You're not going to be able to repent of all your sins all at once and get rid of all your addictions the moment you come to Christ. That's not what the repentance is. The repentance is unbelief. The repentance is a simple acceptance that Christ is my righteousness, not myself. Now, you know what's going to happen. You're going to tell yourself this is too simple. Religion is supposed to be difficult. Well, maybe religion is, but this isn't religion. We're not talking about religious ceremonies and liturgies and rituals here. We're not talking even about joining denominations or churches. We're talking about trusting in the Son of God, whom the Father sent for us. It is that simple. Now, granted that faith has a struggle in its exercise because we're not used to trusting in this way. But my friend, as you trust, more trust develops. Now you still say, I'm cautious of it, Colin, because it's not only too simple, it's too easy. This will make me simply sit back and do nothing. This will lead me to be indifferent in regard to my sins. This is dangerous talk you're doing here, because it implies that I can just stay around with my sins. My dear friend, if you grasp the goodness of God by this faith and realize and trust Him, and realize in the process of trusting Him that this must be a good and merciful God, then slowly there develops a gratitude in your heart that makes sin less appealing and God more attractive, and you will find that sin gradually loses its power. Let's go for this. Friend, I would like to invite you to become a partner of this broadcast so that this program, along with the whole ministry of Faith Quest Perspectives, can keep going. This is a ministry that's coming up to its 35th year, and the radio broadcast in October will come up to its 15th year. So, it's not a fly-by-night organization. We're here to stay by God's grace. And I'd like you to think of becoming a partner at whatever level, financially, each month or once a year or several times a year, is workable to you. Maybe you'd like to donate $10 a month, maybe $50 or $100 a month or $200, maybe $25. Whatever works for you, my friend, would you seriously consider it? If you are being helped by the broadcast, trained by the broadcast, this is a program about training your faith in the good news about our Savior Jesus. If this program is helping you in that way, then please prayerfully talk to the Lord and say, God, Father, what can I do to help? How much can I give? And then send your donation to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. If you'd like to take care of your donations on a monthly basis by credit card or debit card, then please call me at 303-738-8694. That's 303-738-8694. Or you can take care of your donation by PayPal. Go to faithquestradio.com, where you can hear the radio broadcast every day, faithquestradio.com, and click on donations there. Thank you then, my friend. I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.